Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Woodrow.
Mother's Day, all the moms, wonderful. And I want to welcome any of the folks you're visiting here. Thanks for being here in the off season. You know, good luck finding a restaurant open in town, but, you know, or fight for the few tables that are open. But it is kind of nice just to kind of walk around and find a parking place. What a concept. But anyway, glad you're here. We have been in a series on G3 culture. Our three G's, grace, growth, and greater things, is what we pray about to see happen in our culture here as a church family. And so we've been in several weeks just talking through this. Last week we looked at what it means to cultivate a culture of transformation. And I want to continue that this morning and tie in mothers as we talk about this morning, cultivating a culture of honor. A culture of honor. And a culture of honor, folks, we don't use that word, or, you know, maybe we don't think about that relationally like we should. But a culture of honor, folks, is a culture, it's an environment, right, where we are honored, valued for who we uniquely are, as the entire, the larger part of the family is honored and valued for what it is. It's a place of grace. It's a place where we can come and we can grow and we can come in with all of our mess and our struggles and be encouraged and strengthened and prayed for and be transformed by the gospel, the power that is in the gospel itself. But to have a culture of honor means we have to first and foremost honor God. You can't have a culture of honor unless at the core of all this there is a heartbeat first and foremost above all else is to honor Him and to honor His creation. And He's laid it out pretty clear for us in the Scripture. And to do that relationally for a healthy family, for a healthy culture of honor, is we must honor the things that God created and how He created us and how He created us to relate to one another and to grow in fellowship with one another. And therefore, God's church, this culture of honor, we must honor what He honors, and that would be honoring biblical manhood, biblical womanhood, and it would be honoring biblical singleness and biblical marriage. And those are the things that God has created, and He has put in His system for us to grow and learn in these things and to bring health into all those pieces. Now, folks, I don't want to get off too much on this, but I don't think I have to tell you that every one of those things is under radical attack right today in our culture. All around you is influence, that, and around our children is the thought, different forms, different ideas of what all that is, what a healthy relational family is to look like. And the church, a culture of honor, is to be a place, is a place of grace, a place of family where we can come in, as I said, with, and we all, right, have a mess. We all have some form of dysfunction, right, and relational issues. But God has created and given His gifts in the presence of God to be present in His family so that we can encourage one another, so we can lay hold, right, of God's best for us, and that we can move towards a place of healing along the way. And folks, I just want to encourage you that God never intended for men and women to compare and compete with each other. That's the culture we live in. He created men and women beautifully, uniquely men, uniquely women, to beautifully complement each other. Now, that is God's design from the beginning, consistent right throughout time. And His church is to model that. It is to be open and welcoming grace again for anyone and everyone who wants to come. But God calls us to affirm only the things, right, that His Word clearly proclaims, because it is best. That is how we honor God, is we honor His Word, right, and His truth. And so this morning, in light of that, I want to take us back to Proverbs 31. And maybe you've never read or had taught the first, actually, 10 or 9 verses of this proverb. And it's from 10, verse 10 on to 31 that talks about this, gives this incredible vision of a godly woman and this beautiful picture of what it is to be a woman. But the first part of this is critical as well. And so I've got 5 things to give you quickly this morning to encourage. I want to speak specifically to the moms this morning, but you will find things in here that are going to encourage all of us in those areas of biblical manhood, womanhood, singleness, in marriage as well. I want to just point out as we dive in here, verse 1, it says, and if you have your Bibles, please join me in Proverbs 31. If not, you can just listen along. But Proverbs 31, verse 1, it says this, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. Don't miss that part. A lot of folks have read through this and they miss the fact that this proverb, 31, is the wisdom of a mother that was trained, taught to her son who was young, but he was bound to be king. And the words were written down by later in life when he was king, and he remembered the deposit that his mother had left in his soul, and he was living the blessing, right, of these words from his mother in his life. And so I just want to read through here. I want to point out five things that this mother spoke into the life of her son. Now, this is from a mother to a son specifically, but these obviously, if you have daughters as well, it's the same truth. Just translate to your child. And so the first piece of this, look at this, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. I think, moms, you can relate to this. What are you doing, my son? I think every parent can relate to that, right? What are you doing, my child? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Folks, let me just, I'm going to be very blunt and clear here. In the culture today, the womb is seen as baggage. I want to be loud and clear to you is that that is one of the most glorious and incredible blessings, uniqueness of what it is to be a mom. God's creative hand has given you the ability to carry on the life and the birthing process. You are closer to that. There's a tie between child, all of us, and our mother that nothing can duplicate in this world. It is an incredible blessing that should be stewarded and held high as a glorious and beautiful thing. And so she knows this. She's using that with her son. Son, what are you doing with your life? Don't forget who I am. Don't forget that I carried you around, right, for all those months, right, and I birthed you and I burped you and I changed your diaper and all that junk. Is listen to my wisdom, son. Okay, listen. And then she moves on and says, remember, you are the son of my vows. What does she mean? The Hebrew there is beautiful. You know what it means? Is it means she means that while her child was in her womb, she prayed a blessing over this child, that this child would be God's child, that this child would be a blessing. And most likely you can read the Hebrew here, and it says this was a child that she was barren and that she was praying, God, fill my womb. And this is the child of her answered prayer, of her hope, of her blessing. And that she continued to pray these blessings over her son. So the first one, the first thing in this idea of a culture of honor and just encouraging our mothers here this morning is that she had her son focus, right? Focus on the issues of identity and destiny, right? She spoke over her child, the power that a mother has into the heart of a child to set the course of that child's identity and that child's destiny is profound. And remember, she has and expected her child to be the king one day. And so she continued to remind him of her early age, praying these blessings over her son, that he was going to be king, that he was going to walk in these incredible blessings. And moms, I want you to understand something. If you know the Lord, do you know what you can pass on to your child? It says in 1 Peter 2:9, it says that we, anyone who follows Christ, is a royal priesthood, is royal. And in God's eyes, he has an amazing destiny, right, for every one of his children to carry out, Lord, his plans in this world. When we submit by faith and we are open our hearts to what God wants to do, it is a profound thing. And so the first thing, moms, is, boy, realize what you the profound nature you have to speak profoundly, powerfully into the identity and into the destiny of your child. Just this Mother's Day, my mom has gone to be with the Lord, but I can't go without honoring her And to every one of these five things is I rejoice that my mother pounded home to me. She was, back then I thought it was nagging, but she just, I mean, she was not going to be thwarted to get God's blessing into my soul. And as I look back on it, it is her words, it is her prayers, it is her utter faith that the reason I stand here today before you, walking as I am walking today, because of her formation, her faith, trusting God to hear her prayers for her child. Don't underestimate the profound impact you have. You can do studies throughout the great leaders, even if we expand this, in all the world. It is amazing to hear those leaders tell the profound nature. They are there because of their mother's faith over their life. Okay? So moms, take advantage of this time and what God will do through your prayers. Second thing is that she had her son focused on what biblical manhood was. Listen carefully to me. Let me read the scripture first. Verse 3 says, Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. Son, what are you doing with your life? You cannot honor God if you don't learn to honor your own body. The primary way we honor God is to honor our body. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And for God's blessing over your life, son, you need to honor your body. You need to learn what it is to be a man. You need to learn how God created you. You need to learn, son, how to treat a woman, how to honor her and honor her body for the glory of God. Son, you need to learn so that other women will see you as a leader trustworthy of their heart. And son, watch out. Watch out for the ways of those who will pull you in the ways of the world and will destroy your destiny, will lead you off track. And what she's talking about here is the history of Solomon, the history of all those who've gone past, right, that gave themselves into the fullness of what the world has to offer with sex and immorality and everything else, that robbed them of the power and the integrity of their voice. Folks, I don't have to tell you. Look among cross-secular leadership, religious leadership. There's no new tricks of the devil, right, to completely rob someone of their inheritance. This mother's saying, son, stay pure. Learn how to watch over the purity of your heart, how to be a real man, how to honor women, not use women, right, how to value them. Son, learn. And watch out for the world around you that is constantly trying to get you to go that way. It will rob you of your destiny. Moms, realize the power you have to speak in as a woman into the heart of your son a vision of what is expected when it comes to biblical manhood, how to be a real man, and to nurture in a healthy, valuable way the heart of a woman. Does that make sense, gang? Clear as it can be, right? Because I just want to go back, write down 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Folks, we have got to recover this in the family of God. It is impossible to honor God if we do not honor our body. It's impossible. He created this, right, to be, as 1 Corinthians 6 says, it was created for God, not to be misused according to our feelings and our habits and our desires. We honor him with our body. And when we do, the blessings of God flow. And what we need today more than ever before is mom and dads to stand up and to speak this into their children, because it is a full-on attack on these issues. Ah, that's just old-fashioned. That's old. Let me tell you what. I don't think I have to tell you. The trauma. You go the way of the world, I'm here to tell you, it destroys the relational fiber and structure of your life and of family. God's way is true. You obey it. I can give 100% guarantee is that he brings blessing relationally, blessing into our lives when we honor him with our body. And let me tell you what, it's hard. It's a full-on battle without others around us and encouraging us, right? It's a tough one. Third thing, verses 4 through 7 is the first two we've looked at, Moms, focus your children on their identity and their destiny. Have a powerful voice of what God can do through that. Secondly, mom, especially with your sons, man, uphold, give him a vision of biblical manhood. Uphold, don't make him a wimp. Do not just baby that boy. Make him a man. Give a vision of womanhood to your daughters. Remember, we're not created to compete with each other and compare with each other. That will send you down a line that is radically destructive. There is no way to argue around it. We were created to complement each other beautifully in an incredible union that God has described in here, right? The third thing here is she focused her son on the importance of responsibility and accountability. Son, what are you doing with your life? Don't waste it. Learn to be responsible. Folks, we need to shout that from the mountaintops across the young generation today, especially of men. I don't have to go through the stats to show you. We got a serious problem today with men not working, with men being irresponsible, with men letting other people take care of problems. We just go down the list. Mom, speak into your son. Early on, be responsible. And none of us can be responsible unless we're willing to be accountable. Right? Have other faith people around our lives speaking into our lives, keeping us accountable, keeping us on track, giving us a vision of what being responsible, right, is all about. It says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the ones who are perishing, the wine to those with bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. What is she saying? Son, what are you doing? Beware of the things that will waste your life, will rot it away. Stay away from all the substances that will rob you of your destiny, that will keep you from, right, being carrying out the destiny that God has for you. He'll put you in bondage. In other words, mom is crying out to her son, stay away from those things that the world is constantly putting before you that will waste your life. That will waste your life. And here specifically, she's tying to him and keeping before him. Don't throw yourself in the way of the world, right? Which is intoxication of all forms. And miss life and waste life. What she says is give strong. Let those who go down that road, let them take hold. Just son, watch, look at the consequences. Okay, whether it be drugs, whether it be alcohol, look at the consequences of those things being used on a regular basis, misused. They rob you of life. They numb your soul. Son, daughter, don't waste your life. And let me tell you, I said it before, but you know, we men, we got about 2 antennas. Ladies, got about 1,000. And they can see it all, and they can hear it. Ladies, step into it. Man, if those antennas start going off and you see something, step into it. Speak the truth over your sons and daughters. Got 2 paths. One's narrow. This is God's blessing. You got a broad path. The world's trying to drag you down. It wants to sell you a bill of goods. Ah, let's go party. Let's have fun. Let's dive into these things. Son, daughter, do not waste your life. God has something far better for you. Learn how to be responsible with your body, with your mind. And God will do great things, phenomenal things. Stay focused. And son and daughter, be accountable. In other words, no way about it. If you don't put faith friends around you, if you don't get some... And let me tell you, this was a regular prayer of my mother's from early on. She prayed. I saw it all through her journals, and she said it over me. 1,000 times she called out in me, make sure that you're developing healthy friends. She prayed it over my life. I walked in it because of her prayers. I'm telling you, nothing transforms a young child's life more than having a faith friendship, an accountability group of others that are same age that are on the same journey with parents, establishing and encouraging the same values. You can't stay responsible. It doesn't matter how committed you are, how profoundly, you know, righteous you are. If you do not have accountability, your responsibility is going to be tested real quickly. Third thing, or fourth thing, verses 8 and 9. Moms, this mom had her son focus, listen carefully to me, to the emotional and relational health of his life. She didn't baby him, but what she did, what uniquely a mom can do, what every young man needs, is to have his heart come alive. And what she says here, she simply says, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Son, get in touch with your heart. Get in touch with the needs of others around you. Son, get out of your myopic selfishness. Look and develop a heart that should be part of this biblical manhood, that you live from the heart. You're strong as a man, but you've got a heart and you're sensitive to the needs around you. A mother like no other can instill and awaken the heart of a young boy so he's in touch with these emotions. He's in touch with his feelings. He's in touch with the needs around him. And all that's going to do is make him more healthy, well-rounded, so that his destiny can be used even more profoundly as he rises up into leadership as it is here. He will judge righteously. As a king, he will look out for the needs of the poor and the destitute. Throughout history, every culture throughout history, it is the women who've maintained two things: modesty from impurity going way out of bounds. Ladies, we need to rise up in this nation. The other one is the needs of the poor, the needs of the people who are hurting. It's the women who rally cry these things. Moms, the ability you have to instill that in your son is profound. And the final thing is that this mother knew the second most important decision in her son's life, number one, is spoken about in Proverbs chapter 1. The beginning of all wisdom, the beginning of all knowledge, is the fear of the Lord. First decision is understanding who you're going to serve. You serve the Lord, you're going to serve yourself and the world. That's the most important decision any person can make. Second most important decision anybody makes is who are you going to spend your life with? And she knew this, so she moves in. And the rest of these verses, verses 10 through 31, she starts up, son, an excellent wife who can find? Son, listen to me. I'm a woman. I know women. And I need to teach you to have eyes for the kind of wife you need that is going to bless your life and is going to carry out the blessings of all these things that we've talked about. Listen to me. I'm going to give you wisdom on this. This is the kind of godly woman you need to be waiting for. And by the way, you can't expect that great godly woman unless you learn how to be a godly man, right? Who is ready to receive her and knows how to honor her and how to pursue her and how to care for her. Son, wait. And let God give you a vision for the beauty of the woman that he has prepared for you. And let me go a step further. Is even back in this day and age, this was an intimate process with mom and dad. In the marriage process, folks, let me tell you, it has to be recovered today. The reason why there's so much stinking chaos in the online dating and the relational problems is because, you know what? Is that we're trying to date, we're trying to find Mr. and Mrs. Right in a fractured, transient culture where there is not healthy community around both people. Moms, develop a relationship with your child, your son or your daughter, so that in the journey of romance, oh, they won't go off and try to romance on their own the way of the world, but they'll bring you into it. They'll listen for your wisdom all the way through, and you won't find yourself waking up one day realizing, wow, how do we get down that road? Moms, the power you have to instill those things into your son and your daughter. Let God rise up. Now, folks, this is the ideal. This is the call. This is what God wants to do in each of our lives. But none of us can meet that mark, right? We've all stumbled and fallen. We all come from some form of dysfunction, some form of mess. We need God's grace. And that is what a culture of honor honors, is God's grace first and foremost, and honors his vision of how it should look. And then we come to him, Lord, fix this mess. Fix this mess by the power of your Spirit. And we start journeying with each other. And we start seeing this incredible, beautiful thing, the testimony of God's restoration, the testimony of his renewal, the testimony of his healing our broken, hurting hearts. In the very last verse in the Old Testament, before we go to the New, says this incredible prophecy is that the Spirit that was should birth through in a culture of honor is a culture where the hearts of the children are restored to the hearts of their parents, to fathers. Wow. That's a culture of honor. And how we honor each other. You know what? It's not going to do any good for me to come alongside you and just kind of be there for you in the midst of your struggle if your struggle is counter to God's vision for your life. That's not loving at all. That's enabling you to stay in bondage. A culture of honor, how we honor each other is we get involved in each other's lives and we push each other towards what God's design is. In the midst of experiencing his grace, his growth, and the greater things that he has for us. And folks, those are the kind of testimonies that change lives. That's why the doors of the church should be wide open. Anybody, come in here. Come in here. Let the grace of God give you a vision that your heart knows is right. Let him restore you and restore life. A beautiful vision of what that is. So, Father, we thank you for your word. And God, I know this morning, Lord, that is going to be some huge encouragement for some. But others, Lord, I know that it's going to be a struggle. And God, I pray for your mercy. I pray, Lord, for your kindness. Lord, I pray for your forgiveness. Lord, I pray for a vision of restoration. And God, I pray that no one in here, fathers or mothers, Lord, would look at this as being impossible or too hard. Lord, it is without you, but you're there. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd move, do amazing things. Lord, let us in our lives experience the blessing of your truth in your word. Father, I pray for every mother in here. Overwhelm them with your love. Lord, with your assurance over them. Your security, and Lord, your power, and your vision of their incredible opportunity, and the unique blessing of what it is to be mom. Strengthen them. Fill them with your Spirit, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.